Well, good morning, everybody out there. Louise is away today, so instead I am joined by two wonderful filmmakers slash creative artists slash multimedia collaborators on the film 150 Voices. So good morning to Aidan Clark.
Hello.
Hello, and Layla Kutchker.
Hi.
Nice to see you guys. I'm so glad you could join us today. Because
thanks for having us.
Yes, oh, happy to be here.
Excellent. Because this very Sunday, April 30th, is the premiere of the film 150 Voices.
Yay.
Yes. It's finally over.
I know that it's going to feel like this was a massive project, but this is a legacy that you guys are leaving for Salmon Arm in the sesquicentennial year that you should be very proud of. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to tell the story of that film and how it all came to be here today. And first, we're going to blame Aidan.
Oh.
About, what would you say? Was that about a year ago? April, May, sometime 2016?
Yeah, actually, I think it was May, June. Yeah, no, it was sometime around there.
Yeah, that you came to the Canada 150 committee meeting. So the Canada 150 committee was formed by Louise Wallace Richmond, and it's too bad that Louise isn't here today to tell us all about that, but it was formed especially to build a network of people and organizations who were going to be doing Canada 150 events and, you know, legacy pieces, and to make sure that we could help each other, co-promote, maybe find funding together, things like that. Anyway, it was an idea sharing phase at that time. And I was there because the Arts Council is always interested in recognizing important, you know, milestones like that. And the Arts Council wanted to do a youth project. So we were kind of around the table doing the whole, here's what we're doing this year. So I was telling all about the whole 2017 exhibition year, which was going to be all about Canada and everything from the identity icons to the red and white celebration to the First Nations identity, everything, right? We were just going to do everything Canada. And then one day, Aidan showed up to the meeting.
That fateful day.
The day. This is like Gilligan's Island. And then one day he showed up. So tell us about when you showed up for that Canada 150 meeting, the idea you had in your head.
Well, the idea I had in my head was, I didn't have too much of a direction to go in. All I knew is that I like doing films, and I wanted to help out with the Canada 150 vibe, per se. And so I decided to come to the meeting and just observe and see if I could be of assistance anywhere. And I suggested my idea for a film project, and then you continued on that idea.
Yeah, well, it fit right nicely because, first of all, is it okay if I say I don't want this to be an ageist thing? But, I mean, you're a grade 9 student. You're 14, right? Just about 15. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So you fit right in with what I had in mind, seriously, that we wanted to do something with youth. It was just not necessarily film. I didn't know at that time about filmmaking. So your idea was a good fit for this organization. So from there, you and I had a discussion.
We did. We walked back to the art gallery, had an in-depth discussion about what this would be about, and decided we would interview people and get their reactions for a youth film project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it all began.
That's the beginning of this insane project. Yeah. So one of the things that we decided to do is, if we made this film with a whole bunch of interviews of people in the community about how they felt about Canada, we were going to have to make it a little more interesting than a whole bunch of people talking. So we talked early on about the animation factor. And it was an easy fit too for us, because we are very fortunate to have Nikki Weber working at the gallery, and she is a trained animator, got her degree at Emily Carr in animation, and she runs the summer animation art camp. So it's a perfect fit to have training going on at the same time for animators, as well as training for the technical purpose of filmmaking. So So the animation element came in. We also were really lucky at the time to have Curtis Horsberg in the community. He is quite a well-known animator in his own world. In fact, you can see he's got one of the top animated films on the National Film Board's website of 2016. It's called Fugue, F-Y-O-O-G, and it's really cool, a mix of stop motion and classical animation. So between those two people, we had the ability to teach animation going forward.
Yeah, for sure. We taught quite a few people. I don't know the exact numbers, but...
Well, I think each of the courses, like, we can't have very many in each one, right? I think we had a maximum of 8 per, and so we had 7 sign up for the first one, but I think only 4 completed that first one. And then the same thing for the second one. We had lots of sign-ups, but then...
Because it was over the course of a couple weeks. Like, yeah. So some people just couldn't come to certain days.
Yeah. So it was kind of a little hit and miss there. However, there was probably 4 in each, the classical and the stop motion, that finished the training and produced work. So Layla, you can talk more about that because you took the classical animation one, the first one, right?
Yeah.
So how was that? That was with Curtis, correct?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It was cool because we didn't do, like, it wasn't digital. So it wasn't like, you know, a program that we could just click a button to flip the page. It was all just on real paper, obviously. And it was cool to have a little light table, little makeshift light table at least. And, to just keep adding more pages, drawing the next little thing. I don't know. I'd never animated before that point.
Yeah.
Classical animation at least. So it was,
yeah. But you were a drawer.
Cool experience. Yes.
Yeah. So you kind of had a little bit of a,
I think I was the worst drawer in the class, but
what were you?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody probably thought that. So
I did.
So that was, I mean, to me, that's kind of an excellent thing to learn, that these kinds of processes are painful and time consuming, right?
Oh boy.
It was a project.
I spent maybe a collective, like, minimum 20 hours on my first animation.
Yeah.
Just because I did it all on paper, and then the other ones I did were digital. It was a lot easier to manage.
Yeah. But it was interesting because Curtis said that when you do a hand-drawn animation, you definitely get your own voice out there, like your own style of drawing.
Yeah, I noticed that with comparing the ones that I did. Mm-hmm. If you see the film, the polar bear one is the animation I did on a classic, on paper.
Yeah, on a light table.
And it's a lot different.
Yeah. The polar bear one is my favorite. I'm so excited about this, you guys. Like, it's... We did the test yesterday to make sure that it works at the Salmar Classic. And so we got to watch about 5 minutes of the film. And I'm so chuffed. I am so excited to see this film because it looks so great.
It's kind of amazing to see it all come together, like, about halfway through when a lot of people were starting to be like, oh, sorry, I can't make it. And it's like, ah!
I've got a thing over there.
Yeah.
Bye.
It's like, are we going to get this done? And it kind of felt like, well, might as well just back out while we're ahead. Not, you know. But then we just kept going, and it's, like, really worth it now.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so let's go back and we'll talk about some of the early interview experiences. So we had this brilliant idea that we would actually go to some places to get interviews, that it would be easy to collect interviews that way, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually was. And that we were going to train other students to do the same thing, to learn how to get interviews with their own devices. Now, this was another thing, too, that we talked about in the early days, unit.
Yes, Aiden. How we would get this done, how we would... everybody doesn't have a camera, so...
Yeah, but almost everybody has a phone.
This is true, or a device of some kind.
Yeah, and so that was the key, is to get everybody to just use their own device to interview people in their circle. And that was really good for students, for teenagers, youth in general, because... If you don't mind me saying, you guys don't have much of a circle outside of school and your family.
Fair enough.
Right? So yeah. To say to you as an individual, like if you weren't already interested in film, to say, hey, do you want to go to City Hall and collect all of the interviews you can get at, you know, from the counselors? Like, would you as just a general student go do that?
As a general student, I try and still be a very open person to do really.
I'd be just, nope. Yeah. Thanks, bye.
I would probably say yes anyway. I try and do that kind of
what
thing.
A good
that sounds
person.
Like, yeah, that sounds too, sounds a little bit overconfident myself to do that, but I would probably say yes.
Oh, okay, well, I would say that a lot of kids would say no.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would say no. I mean, like,
Yeah, a lot of people probably yeah. would. That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the key was to get these kids to do it within their own circle. Teachers, friends, family, right? So that should have been really easy.
Yes, yes, it should have been.
Yeah, operative word. However, we did want to make sure that some people got interviewed outside of that. So yes, we did go to City Hall. We arranged to go to City Hall on a morning of a planning meeting, which was really early.
Yes.
Do you remember that day?
I do remember that day. It was a long time. It was very cold. It was very cold outside.
Yeah. That's... And it was very early.
Yeah, it was like fall.
Was it fall?
It was like...
Yeah, it was fall. Almost
feel
like
November, December.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere
early
around
November,
there.
Early December.
It was probably like -1.
I don't think there was snow on the ground, though.
It still felt cold, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, yeah.
We had been used to summer.
That's right, yeah. But it was early in the morning, and it was a pro-D yeah. day. And I remember you guys were slightly miffed at me for making you get out of bed so early on a pro-D day.
And I felt so uncomfortable waiting outside the meeting room at City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just like all formal, because yeah. it was City Hall. But, you know,
yeah.
I felt really awkward.
So then what we did is we split the counselors up once they were available. One, Aiden, you took three of them into the...
I think three and Mayor Nancy Cooper.
Right.
I think, yes.
And then Layla stayed in council chambers and did the three that were there.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's about right.
Yeah. And so how did that go? How did you feel doing that?
That went well. They were all very, they had very insightful answers to the questions that I asked. They were very good at elaborating on their points, and they were very quick to decide on what they wanted to say. And that was, I was very appreciative of that because they seemed to be naturals at being interviewed.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, that comes with being a politician.
I'm sure it does, yeah. But yeah, it was a great experience. They were all very easy to interview. They were very nice. They were very concise.
Yeah, and accommodating. That was nice of them to
for sure,
take
yeah.
time out of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were happy to do it.
Yeah. And the next arrangement we made was at Pioneer Lodge. Remember that day?
I do.
Yeah,
I was late.
Uh-huh. So... We worked with one of the ladies there, the volunteer the coordinator of activities, Susan, and she arranged to have a whole bunch of the residents come and be interviewed by you. So how did you enjoy that?
Well, I was late, so I got there about halfway through, maybe a little less than halfway through. It's only about 10 minutes late, but I don't know. They were all also very nice. They got to their points a little bit slower, but they had very interesting stories to tell.
A lot of them said that they love Canada just because they were born here. And it was kind of interesting because I wouldn't think of that as a good answer, but it really was
yeah.
in a way.
I don't know.
And a lot of them started telling their life story too, which is kind of cool.
So
well, only a couple, I guess.
Yeah. So you learned stuff from them.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of neat actually, because it's an opportunity for them to talk to people who are far younger than them. They mostly talk to each other and they kind of know the same stories, right?
Yeah.
So what a great opportunity you provided them to record something that they know. Yeah. Okay. So we have to take a break already. When we come back, I want to talk about the questions that we asked and why, and kind of how the responses to those went as we went along, because this is still early days.
Yes.
So, as I promised, let's talk about the five questions that we asked people. Layla, do you remember them? You should know them off by heart now.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Now I'm going to forget them. It's, why do you love Canada? What is one thing that Canada has that no other country has? This is not in order.
It's okay.
What makes Canadians unique in the world? What is one thing you want the rest of the world to know about Canadians? And what do you imagine for Canada's future?
Right.
Good thing you remembered them, because I did not.
Yes,
wow,
Layla did.
I have my life together.
And Layla did a lot of interviews.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Aiden did a lot of editing.
A lot.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So those questions were kind of designed, in fact, Mayor Nancy Cooper suggested the whole Why I Love Canada thing, because it was her kind of push to say, like, this is also a positive time, right? It's a time of reflection, but it's also a time to think, what do we really appreciate about living here? So that's why we chose that question.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good one. I think it got some really insightful answers.
Yeah.
Keyword of the day. New word of the day.
Yeah. And so, like, what kind of answers were you getting from that?
Well, there it was very ranged. I think that was the one that was most varied.
Mm-hmm.
I think. You know what? There was a lot of answers.
Yeah, and there's some people that listed off all of the things that they love
yes.
about Canada, and other people that just said one deep philosophical thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Louise said that, like, why wouldn't you love Canada? She yeah. was like, I mean, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I
guess. Good point. Good point.
So the next question was, what makes Canadians unique in the world? That was mostly about how do we see ourselves as, like, why are we different than anybody else, right? Mm-hmm. And lots of people thought that we were polite, that was a normal sort of thing to assume yeah. that made us unique. What were some of the other ones that people really responded with?
There were a few that were the opposite, that were, we might not be as different as we think.
Yeah.
But a good, very good percent of them were just politeness and how we're nice. that was nice a general people. Consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, what does Canada have that no other country has? So what were kind of some of the answers from that one?
Well, it was very varied. Wow. Very varied.
Very, very varied.
I don't know. It was like a lot of people pinpointed like certain like Canadian icons like Rick Mercer and Joni Mitchell, you know, some people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Other people talked about like the different climates in Canada, how like we have a lot of different...
Like ecosystems?
Yeah, that's yeah. the word. So, you know, if you go to Alberta, it's a completely different area than here because, you know, there's mountains and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, in BC, there's yeah. mountains, not Alberta. Yeah.
They have some mountains.
I know, but it's mostly.
Yeah. Plains. It's a lot of flat. So the geography too.
Yeah.
People said we had a lot of varied geography. And
I couldn't think of the word for geography.
That's okay.
The mountains.
Those things yeah, those bump things. Up in yeah. the land. Yeah. And the language. Remember that one lady
yeah.
at Pioneer Lodge said, you know, that what makes us unique that we speak the same language across the entire country, but we sound different. We have all these different...
Technically, we have French, but, you know.
Well, we do, but, I mean, we have...
Yeah.
English changes over the coast to coast.
First Nations languages and stuff.
Yes.
But the main language is English.
Yes, yeah. yes. That's very true. And then, gosh, like, I'm just trying to think of some of the other crazy things that make us unique. There were some really funny answers, and there were some very serious answers. And then the fourth question was, what do you want the world to know about Canadians? And that question was mainly about, like, why, what kinds of things do people have misconceptions about us about?
Sorry, sorry was the answer we got the most for that one. It yeah. was, everyone was either, we don't live in igloos, or mm-hmm. we don't say sorry a lot, or we do say sorry a lot.
Yeah.
But,
and A.
A, yes, A was another one that was
Except
popped
we do
up
say
a lot.
A.
We say A more than we think we do, but not as much as
other people think we do.
The rest of the world like notices it. We don't really.
Yeah, we yeah. don't because
so
we're around it.
Exaggerate it.
Yeah, and it is kind of just ubiquitous. It's so common that we don't hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be very aware of it.
Now
for the rest
I know.
Of the
I'm just. I'm just thinking.
How many times do you say A day?
Yeah, it's well, it like. I would say none. I say I don't say it at all, but maybe I do. Yeah. Like maybe I should record myself.
The whole day through.
Yeah. And count the A's.
And then listen to it before you go to bed that 12
but
hours.
That would be like another day.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a whole other day. Okay, that's not a good experiment, but we just can assume that we probably say it more than we think. And then what else do we want the world to know? Same thing, right? There were some funny things and some very serious stuff. I think a lot of people said they wanted to be known as an accepting country, that we accept lots of cultures. That was a common one. Right?
That was, yes.
Yeah. And then the last question was, what do you imagine for Canada's future? That was deep.
That was very deep. Heartfelt.
There was some pretty funny answers, though.
There was.
Yeah.
There was also some really philosophical, you know... Made you think.
Yeah.
There were a few of those.
Did it make you
guys?
It was
mostly those, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it really make you think? Did it
yeah.
make you
a few
really...
of them did, yeah.
Like what?
Excellent question. there were a lot that just consisted of what they hoped for Canada's future, like what they wished would happen, like environmentally or politically. And it really makes you think, like in general, after listening to a bunch of them, makes you think about our situation as a whole mm-hmm. and how that works, per se.
And what's important to us.
What's important to us.
And
yeah.
What we think, because what you think is, like, you know, we're in the middle of an election here, a provincial election campaign.
Yes.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I hear the word jobs all the time. Like, jobs, jobs. We're making more jobs. We want more jobs. We're going to create mm-hmm. jobs. And yet, in what do you imagine for Canada's future? I didn't hear a single person say anything about jobs.
Yeah. It was all something about, I don't know, political or environmental.
Yeah, a lot of environmental hopes and wishes. People wanting us to continue to prioritize environmental issues and make it better and work harder at it.
Yeah.
To be more inclusive, to be more accepting, mm-hmm. to be free of fossil fuels.
Yes, that was a good one.
Yeah.
We had some people talking about, like, the Truth and Reconciliation thing.
Yeah.
And how, like, the First Nations people should be more accepted.
Yeah. That we all face the truth.
Yeah.
And start the reconciliation process. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good one because I think that the Aboriginal cultures recognizing that here we are having a sesquicentennial celebration of confederation, right? So for them, it's been like, oh, yay, let's celebrate 150 years of oppression and abuse. And
yay.
Yeah. So they're being very forward-thinking in terms of, well, and let's change how the next 150 years goes. And that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission is so critically, like, it's such a critical part of that because the whole document is filled with guidelines on how we can do it. It's not a matter of like, okay, now what do you imagine truth and reconciliation is, right? It's not, you don't have to figure it out on your own. This massive, you know, this group of people and all of the testimonies that came along with the whole process are showing us the path. And a lot of people in your film talk about that path and making sure that it becomes part of our everyday existence. That was really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More things that make you think.
Yeah. So this film is turning out to be a philosophical kind of...
Yes.
mind-expanding experience.
Mm-hmm. But there's still, like, lots of humor and stuff. It's...
Yeah.
It's pretty diverse.
Reasonable balance.
Yeah. With, like, answers, at least.
Yeah. I know. What was your favorite funny answer that somebody gave?
I don't know.
I know, so I put
maybe
you on the
spot. Maybe it was that kid, right, in the last question, what do you imagine for Canada's future? Because he was like, oh, maybe some flying cars, and it's like, yes.
Some bubbles for people to walk in.
Yes.
One of the things that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, I think mine was actually probably another young individual who replied, what made us unique, I think it was. And he talked about our policemen, our mounted police.
Oh, yeah.
With their red suits and their horses and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was the greatest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose that's their perspective, right?
Like, yeah.
That's totally unique. They probably don't see that anywhere else. And
mm-hmm.
watching TV and movies and then knowing what they've seen in parades or whatever probably is pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all Canadians feel pretty special because of our identity icons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Okay, so in terms of the interviews, so then you guys collected some of these interviews in these group situations, and Layla, you did a little business run too in the downtown. Went from business to business. Stopped at the candy vault and the tea and spice shop. And
I didn't stop at the candy vault, but
oh yeah, that's right. Actually, Sachi and I went there later.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But I did go to the Tea and Spice shop.
Yes. Entwined Fiber Arts. Mm-hmm. And
like Hidden Gems bookstore.
Yes. And the Book Nook. Oh my gosh. It was a good little journey that day. So
got some great backgrounds for those interviews.
Yeah.
They're really artistic.
Yeah. And that was the other thing, too, is that we had some guidelines. Aiden and worked really hard to set up guidelines for people so that when you were taking interviews, you didn't take it with a bunch of clutter and stuff in the background. But as the project went on, we found that, like, the totally blank wall in the background wasn't as appealing as...
Yeah, some artistic discretion there.
Yeah.
Put some or other in there.
But some of the interviewers that we got submitted from other youth were very creative in their backgrounds.
Yes.
Like the guy in his blanket and his hat and his bottle of Jack Daniels.
I appreciate Canadian whiskey.
So, I shouldn't have said Jack Daniels, and it was something else. It was not Jack Daniels because that's American, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't notice what it exactly
you guys
it was,
shouldn't but... notice what this is. It's okay.
Okay.
You're too young for that.
Too detailed.
Yes. So it's, it was basically a free-for-all in terms of taking interviews. Anybody you could get at the end, because we were getting desperate for numbers, right? Like trying to get 150 voices, 150 interviews was really hard work. Not that many people wanted to do more than one or two, right? Mm-hmm.
So and we appreciate
a lot of
those one and
two. To get interviewed too.
Oh yeah, that was another thing. Yeah, because we opened the gallery up twice. We said open public invitation to come and get interviewed, and we did that one day for 2 hours. And how many people did we get that day?
Oh, I forget. Like
four, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was mostly because Maggie Beckner was outside.
We were throwing snowballs.
We were throwing snowballs at people.
Okay, we weren't throwing snowballs at people.
I didn't do that. That was Aiden.
And this is the end. After we'd had like nobody for an hour, then you guys were out there throwing snowballs at the sign, at the stop sign.
Yeah, we may have missed the sign a few times, but...
And you stayed out until you hit the sign because you came.
Yeah.
You just kept missing. Everybody else got cold and went inside, and you're like, I'm going to hit the sign.
It took me so long.
But it was basically like, we had to accost people on the street to pull in and get, and then get the interviews done, and they were unprepared, right? Like these people were basically being told, hi, we're just like doing this art project and we need to come in and we need you to be interviewed. And they're like, I don't think so. My hair doesn't look good. And you know, they had all kinds of issues and were basically unwilling. So you guys really had to work it. I really appreciate that you did that.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that I asked just in various times and they're like, not today. And then
maybe tomorrow's today.
Yeah, and then the next time I'd ask them again, and they'd be like, no, sorry. Yeah. It's like, I can't force them, so.
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess this is a learning experience for all of us, right? Some of us don't want to actually share our opinions. Maybe that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So today we're talking about 150 Voices, the film project that was created by this particular little creative team, plus about 35, 40 other students and youth, which is very exciting. And it premieres on Sunday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the Salmar Classic. And everyone is invited. So it's admission by donation, which means you can decide if you want to donate or not. And we also have a sponsor and contributor reception happening at 6 o'clock that night. So a cupcake and a glass of iced tea for everybody who contributed to the film. This is really big. You don't get cupcakes every day. I'm getting looks from these guys. It's not very much. Maybe you're not impressed by cupcakes the way I am.
Oh, I'm very impressed by cupcakes.
So going on the... So here, where are we now? We're in the sort of early editing stages where we're trying to collect the animations and getting actual content together. So in that stage, we decided to divide the segments up. So each of the questions became their own film segment. And then we're going to get five different segment editors so that you'd be creating five different little mini films. And then we'd put them together into a big film. And the big film is what, 6 hours long? It's not bad, is it?
little overestimate there. It's about half an hour.
Yeah.
Which was, we didn't think we were going to make it that far. We thought it was going to be a little shorter than that, but we managed to hit the half an hour mark.
I don't know. So. I thought it was going to be a half an hour, but...
All right. I didn't think it was going to be a half an hour. I thought we would cut the bar a little close.
Well, it was, as it turns out, 33 minutes or so. And we did get nine animations for the film. And plus we have these awesome little transition thought bubble things. So I think, and beautiful title and end credits. So in terms of a whole package, this is a
quality film.
Yes, it is a full value film. So just some fun ideas though, because it is a youth film. It should absolutely have your stamp on it. So what was kind of fun is the way we did the title credits and the end credits was utilizing artwork that was created by students in Elaine Holmes' art classes. So they created backgrounds for us to collage names onto for the title credits or for the end credits. And then the early part, the title credits were all about like the sponsors' logos getting colored in by a couple of youth volunteers that I have at the gallery. So it actually worked out really nicely to kind of keep your hand in it, so to speak, right?
Ha. I think it turned out great. The end credits look beautiful. All the excellent artwork. It's almost stunning.
Almost stunning.
Almost stunning.
And then what was really awesome is we got the help of Brian Pratt Johnson, who at Sullivan teaches music composition. And we have three people that were in the music comp class that created original pieces for the film. Like, that was really exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one guy did, actually, no, wait a minute. There's three guys that did it. One guy did three pieces, and then one guy collaborated with him on that. So Liam Affleck was his name. Pretty exceptional kid, obviously. And then another guy, Cole Wintringham, he did the final piece that we used. It was awesome. I mean, it was just really a wonderful experience to hear what you guys, what your age group is producing in terms of music these days. It's awesome. And then Brian helped by, of course, helping the recording process and everything. So this really is original work of art.
It is. It is. I don't think there's a single thing in there that's not created for this purpose. I could be wrong about that.
No, it was.
Okay.
We didn't use anybody else's anything.
All right. Okay.
And remember that this project is like one of the only projects happening in town that is specifically Canada 150.
Yes.
Most other organizations did things that were Canada 150 themed on an existing event or program.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, I just think that's a really unique process.
Yeah, for sure.
So you should tell us, Aiden, a little bit more about the editing. Now that we're getting near the end and we've got these segments together, Libby Olson, who's a seminar resident and in film school right now, did one segment. You did two segments.
Yes.
Layla did one, and Matthew Richmond did one. But then you're the guy in charge of putting it all together. So how did that go?
Well, as for the segments, they weren't that difficult to put together. It was kind of like pretty easy because you were the one who did most of the sorting, so it was easy to just pick out what we needed and to put it
file
all together.
File management. Just gonna say that again because that is the critical point of any kind of project like this. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. No, you're right though. File management, that was what made it so easy on me for the segments anyway. They were all named very well with the name and then the followed by 150, and I just kind of put them all in and, you know, added our transitions and everything. And
kind of made it creative.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't just punk it all together.
Yeah. Added a little bit of flair here and there.
Flair.
Yeah. For the segments.
And the animations, too.
Yes, the animations. They're all great. They came out really well, and very appreciative of all the animators that managed to create animations for the film. They're all, you should be excited for them. They're all great. So as for putting the whole thing together, I think everybody did an excellent job with their segments. They were all very well put together. So from there, it was pretty easy to just put them together with our animation that we had made, text bubbles for each of our segments. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, put the end credits together and the starting title credits together. And it was about it. We had a little bit of issues because, of course, technical issues have to get in the way of any film. So it was a little bit, delayed a little bit. Well, not delayed from the time we're starting, but delayed later than we thought it would take. But I think it went well.
You didn't buckle under the pressure.
I tried not to.
So there was partly issues because of multiple sources.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
The getting that all together into one piece was a little bit difficult because, well, I mean, again, technical issues.
Versions of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah, as you build it and you try stuff and you change things then.
And it's like, oh, we have this other interview we didn't add in, so we have to export it again. And then there was like seven versions of the same segment. And
which one is the right one? Yeah. And that's why we did the test yesterday.
Yeah.
To check that kind of thing. So, Layla, why don't you tell us about putting your segment together? You did the what does Canada have that no other country has?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't too difficult. It was kind of annoying because I kept getting interviews, so I couldn't just, you know, sit down one day and just get it done. I had to work on it over the course of a couple of days. I don't know how long, like the stretch of time probably took a collective just a few hours, but yeah, it was cool to kind of see all the different answers everyone did and kind of put those together, like people who said Tim Hortons was something we had that no one else had, and yeah, and to kind of make that collaborate with the animations and stuff. It was cool.
Yeah, so that part is a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you guys did really well in terms of grouping things and making it a story. Right? Giving it a story arc.
Yes, yeah.
It's like a plot.
It is.
That has to unfold and be
interesting. I had a climax. No, not really.
Really? What is it?
I don't.
Oh. Well, I was excited there for a second. I think there is in every one. There's always one interview in each segment that's really like over the top. Funny, yeah. And yeah, and then some of the segments got put together, or some of the interviews got put together with animations, which was really nice, like the Tim Horton one that you said, and the igloo was a good one. So I think, yeah, it was, I think there was opportunity for being creative.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you felt like you were given creative control and that it was totally yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because nobody else wanted to do it, that's why.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the participation of your fellow youth, the level of participation?
Well, I mean, a lot of them like wanted to get involved, but they just felt they didn't have time or they didn't really know what to do, or they did get involved, but I don't want to say they didn't do it right, but like they, you know,
they did it wrong.
But they like, I don't know if they made an interview, but it was too dark in the room or something. And that's not a good example because you can fix the lighting, but there's like a lot of clutter in the background, or one I got was like the camera kept focusing and unfocusing, so it was pretty blurry most of the time and stuff like that, that was kind of like, ah, I'm sorry, we can't use this.
Yeah.
So then people get discouraged and or whatever, and they wouldn't get around to it again.
Yeah. And I know that at the beginning of the film, you guys have your names. So it's like the Arts Council, and then Aidan Clark, and then Layla Kutchker, and then you're just about to write what after that? And?
A bunch of quitters. Yeah.
Instead of a bunch of other people, you wanted to write a bunch of quitters.
That was Curtis that said that. Oh. It's like 150 voices made by a film made by Aidan, Layla, and a bunch of quitters.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like...
Feels like it.
It feels like there was a lot of early interest. And, like, I had a group of 26 of you guys signed up and ready to work, right? And then it was down to about 10 or 11. And then it was down to about 4.
Our numbers just then, slowly like, dwindled.
Yes.
And then we had to, like... After that, when there was, like, 4 people left, then we really... reached out and got some other interviews, got other people to get interviews.
Yeah.
So in the end, it kind of worked out.
And what the interesting thing is when I look at the interviewers and the people who did music and the people who did art, we actually had 56 participants in the film. So it really was just that, I think what I've learned from this process is that you need a small creative team to pretty much that's willing to do all the work. Right. And then you need a group of people who are willing to do one thing, That, and that's pretty much what we ended up with.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Not that I'm ever going to do this again.
No. Just yeah. It states that in the film, never doing this again.
Yeah, so, but that is definitely something I learned in terms of youth, that I'm not, I can't expect 50 youth to work together on a project. I think this is very natural for us to have a leader and then a couple of really, like, critical voices, right?
Yeah, because a lot mm-hmm. of people just did one interview or two. Yeah.
Which we appreciate, of course. Yeah. Like, we needed all those little interviews. Well, the people who did one or two, but there was also a bunch of people who did more than that.
Yeah. There was a few of you guys who did lots more than that, especially you two. I can't stress how appreciative I am of the two of you, how you committed to it and you stuck it out. Like, you basically bought in, you said, yep, I'm in, and you just kept working. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I wasn't signed up to edit something. But
surprise! Yeah, you were just signed up for animation, right? Yeah. That's all you were going
to
do.
Yeah, I wasn't even signed up to interview people.
This is what you...
I ended up doing the most, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the prize, Layla, okay? Like, if there was a prize for doing the most number of interviews, you'd get it. I'm pretty sure.
Thanks.
Because you must have done, like... 30 or 40.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Feels yeah. like it.
And Aiden, while you're in on the city council
yes.
and Pioneer Lodge, you didn't get any other individual ones, right?
No.
So you're only sitting at about 10 or 12, I think.
Disappointed.
Hey, all right. I did two full segments of editing and I put it together.
That's true. Yep. Your job was in the darkened room in front of the computer for hours and hours.
I prefer it that way.
Well, and that's kind of, interestingly, that's one of the things we thought about, that it would be appealing to youth, because number one, if you only have to use your device and interview somebody randomly for 5 seconds, it's no big, long commitment, right? And then the other part is that you've got hours in a dark room in front of your computer. Isn't that what you guys do all the time?
Yeah.
So how appealing is that?
Okay. I feel like a lot of people didn't want to do it because they'd meet someone on the street or something, and they didn't want to take the time to, like, pull out their phone and be, oh, I need to interview you for this film project I'm yeah. working on. They just think, oh, it's much easier, just, you know, whatever. It's not that important. It's not for a grade.
Right, right. The whole school factor yeah. was interesting, yeah. Okay, so at this time, it's normally our dramatic moment in the arts, and we get to play our opera music, like, dun, dun, dun.
All right, excitement time.
Yeah.
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Thank you. See, she's a listener. She actually has to listen. I forced them to listen. Actually, no, it's been a long time since yeah. I forced you, now that I think about it. I forced you once, and now you run away at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, which is interesting. Okay.
I think it's because I'm in high school and have a lot of homework.
Mm-hmm. It's a great excuse. I know it's...
What?
Eat, sleep, YouTube, repeat. Don't try to fool me. I know what you're doing down there.
I would get you to help me, but you don't speak French, so that's why I just do it in my room.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of an issue, actually. I just want to put that out there in the public world. Parents not being able to help their children with French homework. It's a problem. I think there should be French immersion for adults, too.
I think that's called online courses.
Oh, okay. Just get a man right on that. Okay, so instead of a dramatic moment in the arts, I decided instead to have a mini film Jeopardy.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
Aren't I good at trivia?
Yes. Put away all devices. No cheating.
I choose films for 300.
Okay. This, ready? Remember that you have to answer in the form of a question.
Oh.
Which is the most ridiculous rule ever to have been invented, but whatever. This director started at age 11 and made a short film called The Last Train Wreck, in which he used a model train and basically created a film about a train wreck. Do you know who this director is? Age 11, if you can believe it, when he made his first film.
No.
What is no?
No, it'd be who is.
Right? Okay, who is no.
Who is can I go? Because I don't know these answers. No.
I should probably know this, but...
It's okay.
I'm thinking of that movie where it's about those kids that made a movie about a train wreck.
The movie what about the kids who made a movie about the movie, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. It was like...
Interestingly, I think that was called Super 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, I'm not even sure if this guy did that. It was Steven Spielberg.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. I did not know that.
Yeah. Age 11. So if you guys think you're young, Steven Spielberg was 11 when he did his.
Yeah, I'm aware that I'm a failure. No.
This is not...
escalated quickly.
This is not intended to show you that you should have started 5 years ago. This is just saying that there are some pretty famous directors out there who started at your age. Okay. This director filmed his first movie on a Super 8 at the age of 13. And it was an adaptation of The Island of Dr. Murnau. He called it The Island of Dr. Agour. And it was actually a stop-motion animated film. So, do you know who this director was who did this stop-motion film at the age of 13? So that's a clue that it's a stop-motion animation.
Okay, so I know that this is really boring because we don't know the answers, but I have no idea.
So who's a famous stop-motion animator film director?
I don't really pay attention to the directors, I'm sorry.
I try and pay attention to the directors, yeah, but I haven't...
I don't know names. I
probably should have known the last one. That was probably... but I don't actually know this one.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, Tim Burton?
Yes.
Sorry, who is Tim Burton?
There we go. Tim Burton, 13 years old.
I was going to say that, by the way, but he just said it faster than me.
Sorry, my brain just went Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton.
Yes.
That one.
So, yeah, there you go, right? Stop motion animation, a year younger than you guys.
Huh. Okay, there's a lot of films that are stop motion animation.
There are a lot.
So it's kind of hard to pinpoint that one.
That's true. Okay, so here's one. This 14-year-old director, so now we're getting closer.
What's with the young ages? Is this a theme?
This is a theme.
Is it a theme? Yes. Okay.
The category should have actually been young filmmakers.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know. I wish I had the Daily Double sound on a phone or something.
I need like the Jeopardy.
Oh, we'll do Final Jeopardy. That's what we'll do for the final question because it's really hard.
That's it.
Oh. That is not the Jeopardy theme.
That's not. No.
It sounded almost on cue. I think what?
Our technical crew is working really hard to try to figure stuff out, and they just figured something out in the other room there.
It was something.
It was not the Jeopardy theme.
Not the Jeopardy theme.
It's not our theme, but it's okay. All right, so where am I? Oh, yes. So this 14-year-old director made a movie in 1962 using an 8mm film camera called Revenge of the Colossal Beast.
What?
I should know this, too. I think I've heard of it before.
Yeah, I haven't.
No, The Revenge of the Colossal Beast. It's not a good clue. It's only that he was 14 in 1962 that might be a good clue. But he's also quite famous for general horrible...
Oh, is he the Evil Dead guy?
That was a great movie.
No, I mean the guy who directed Evil Dead.
I don't think so. But this guy does do horror films, but they're not really... They're not slasher films. They're actually... He did The Thing. Did you see the movie The Thing?
Yes. Director, though.
The Thing.
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
I probably should have known that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
You're young. You haven't taken film in film school or film history yet, so it's okay.
One day.
One day. Okay, you might get this one. This director was 16 years old when he made a short film called The Valley, which was a 20-minute mix of live action and stop motion, and he shot that on a Super 8. So The Valley, a mix of live action and stop motion, so probably in the fantasy realm, and he was only 16 years old.
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be a very brief game of Jeopardy.
Sorry, this is so boring.
You guys are
boring.
Don't have any money yet in your boxes.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't study beforehand.
Whose idea was this?
Sorry, it was Sachi's idea, actually. It's okay. It was a good idea because we're learning stuff.
Yes. The more you know.
Yeah, I already forgot all the answers. So,
So I'll give you one more clue.
All right.
This guy did... several trilogies. this director has done.
It's a director, right?
Yes, the director has done trilogies. Think about live action, stop motion combination, how it lends itself to fantasy and things like
I'm thinking
Beast.
Of Lord of the Rings.
Yes! Who was the director for Lord of the Rings?
I
have
no idea.
Oh.
I know it.
Come on.
Oh, gosh.
I should know this, too.
As soon as I say it,
you'll
be like,
we're just gonna, oh, I knew that.
It's Peter Jackson.
Oh. Several trilogies.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
So he was only 16 when he did his first film. So I guess my point in all of this is that there is a starting point, and maybe not all of them are go on to be award-winning films.
So when I become a famous director, because that's exactly what I want to do. No,
but that's what I want to do.
Okay, when you go up your get your Academy Award. It'll just be like, ah, yes, my first film in this tiny town of Salmon Arm for Canada's sesquicentennial.
I'd like to thank the 50 people that dropped out on us.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable.
And the
think.
Two other people who actually worked on it with us. No, I'm just...
Starts
I'm
to cry.
Not tears of joy.
And then, okay... I do have one final Jeopardy round. This is the final one where you get to bet all your money.
I don't have any money.
Okay, then.
Actually, I do. I got Tim Burton. So I have, how much was that for?
I don't know. It was 200.
Okay.
Tim Burton for 200.
Hey, I have 200 too then, technically. Even though it was with a...
Sure.
I didn't get it. I just guessed Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes. But, you know. We'll give you part... points for that.
Okay,
so we'll say that you're tied and you're betting 200. Yeah. You are not going to get this.
No.
There's no way you're going to get this. Okay. Did I even write down her name? Yes, I did. I wanted to make sure, because there is a problem in the world with directors and maleness. Sorry.
There's a problem with maleness with every famous thing, mostly.
Well, it's true.
I mean, I'm not bashing men, but just there's a lot of them.
Fine, I'll just go. I'll just leave.
I just mean, like, the women in arts and film are, like, not as recognized.
It's true. I'm reading the Gorilla Girl's Bedside Companion to the History of Art. Oh, my God. You really feel like you want a man bash after that, I can tell you. However, I'm just going to say it out that directors are definitely the highest paid artistic people in that industry, and the industry is 95% male. Or that particular role is filled by 95% by males. And the lowest forms of pay, the lowest rates of pay are 95% female. So it is kind of a pay equity thing as well as an opportunity issue. Not very many women are given the funding, the backing, the professional support for directing films. But I think that that is starting to change. So you guys are in the generation that will see the greatest change. And I want you to keep working at making that happen. Okay. This director was 18 years old when she made her first film, which was actually quite dark and quite sexual, and it was called Saute Ma Ville in 1968, and it was about being a young woman in the radical 60s. Like, it was about the sexual revolution and about what it means to be a young woman coming into that generation and what kinds of freedoms you have. Do you have any idea who this woman is?
Because you already told me that I wouldn't get it.
I've pre-disastered this for you, haven't I?
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. Her name is Chantal Ackerman. So just so you know, there were female directors back in the 60s, and this is how long it's taken for us to get some recognition. So everybody needs to just keep working on that.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay. Just as a final couple of words... is there anything you'd like to say about this process, Aiden, that you've learned from it or that you really want the world to know?
I really want the world to know about Canada? Well, I don't know if I can answer that, but I can answer the first question. It was a very long process. It was a very stressful, per se, process, but it wasn't that bad.
For you.
Yeah.
Well,
no, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, and I should probably get used to this if I plan to become a director, so I'm working on that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we can all hope for, right, is that you learn something that will take you forward and make you a wonderful contributor in the art sector.
I learned it's difficult to herd cats. Good thing it was your job.
Herding cats is fun. It's what I do. Layla, is there anything you'd like to say, your final words about how crazy this project was and how much you enjoyed it?
Well, no. Enjoyed. I mean, sorry. I don't really have a lot to say. I mean, like, I'm proud of what we did, and I'm happy it's over. Yep.
That's it.
And that I've been all. Experiencing a lot of stress from this for a very long time. So,
you're
I'm
feeling
really happy that it's... I'm done.
Okay. Well,
watch the premiere.
You'll be really done at the premiere Sunday, April 30th, 7 p.m., Salmar Classic Theater. Come and see 150 Voices. It is an awesome film legacy produced by awesome people. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. Look, we finally get to hear our theme music.
Oh, it's back.
Yay.
Yay.
So have a wonderful day, everybody, and we'll see you at the theater.
Yes, be there.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.